Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, there are two thoughts for reflection that I want you to ruminate upon. And yes, I did use the word ruminate. I want you to struggle with them, wrestle with them, and see where you come out at the end. The first one has to do is over the last couple of times that I have preached, I have mentioned some questions for you to reflect upon. Now, if I were to ask you what those questions were, does anybody recall? See, I knew I should have been running quizzes. Well, don't worry. I'll remind you in a few minutes. The second thing to have in your mind is, how does the way that you answer the questions intersect with Acts chapter 2? So the invitation, the three questions that I asked you to reflect upon are, who is Jesus calling you to be? What is Jesus calling you to do? What are your core values as a follower of Jesus Christ? Now, as I reflect upon my invitation to you, I also accepted the invitation for my own life. And as I accepted that invitation, I found myself focused upon the first question. Focused upon, who is Jesus calling me to be? Now, as I reflect upon that question, and maybe it's too many years of schooling, I found that the question was really a two-part question. For me, it's two parts in the sense of, who is Jesus calling Tim to be? And the second part of the question is, who is Jesus calling Pastor Tim to be? The first question has to do with my own personal life and my relationships with one another and how I live that life out. The second question has to do with, how do I live that calling here at Hollywood Press as pastor? Is there a difference or no difference? One is private and one is public. But those are the questions that I have, that I've been ruminating over the past week. In reflecting upon these questions, I found myself awakened to the Word, awakened to the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life during periods of creative waiting. And there's two periods of creative waiting this past week that I found myself contemplating, ruminating over what was taking place through the question. One of those places of creative waiting I found was in my morning and or evening devotions. Now, for this past year, I decided to structure my devotions much more so than I would have in the past, and I use morning and evening devotions, morning and evening prayer, from the Orthodox Christian tradition. Kind of forced me out of my comfort zone to go and do something different. A part of that devotion, part of that prayer time, is also a time of reading Scripture. So I decided this year to be a little bit more structured with reading Scripture. And I decided to read Scripture through in its entirety, chronologically by event. So that's where I was creatively waiting and listening. And in that creative waiting, or that listening and reading Scripture prayerfully each day, I noticed that in my waiting, in my listening, that the blah, 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 blah the noise of life started to disappear. I noticed in my creative waiting that if I were a student in the cartoon Charlie Brown, where the teacher's standing up there, her parents are talking, you remember how that went? Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. That noise found a different frequency as I became more focused, more mindful of the Holy Spirit. And as I was doing that, I came to the end of reading Nehemiah this week. And in prayerful consideration, what was placed upon my heart, what I recognized for my own life as I thought, what is my mission, O Lord? Who am I to be, O Lord? The words that we may be familiar with. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, spirit, soul, and strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I thought to myself as I had finished reading Nehemiah and these words are placed upon my heart, okay, Lord, I got it. I've read this, I've studied it, I've preached it in the past. This is nothing new. But I was seized at that moment and had it written upon my heart what was going on. For these words are words of Jesus in an answer to the question of the scribes in Mark chapter 12, where the scribes asked Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment? What's the most important commandment of all?" And so Jesus responded, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, spirit, mind, soul, strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." I was captured by that, and it was written upon my heart. In another moment of creative waiting, a moment that more reasonably, you and I probably share together, but in different manners. It's sitting in the car. When you go from point A to point B to point C to D, however you're traveling, how do you spend your time in the car? Have you ever thought how you spend your time in the car? What do you listen to? There's a variety of radio stations, a variety of music, and being new to the area, I decided, well, I'll explore a couple new stations. And one I landed on and actually saved on my car was a jazz station. And then another one's a classical station. And then I have, of course, the music out of my phone that I can hook up and listen to. What I found in my creative waiting in the car was that when I played either the jazz station or the classical station or the Byzantine chant that I have on my phone, that the noise of the world, the frequency of that noise was changed. It was filtered. I was more at calm, more at peace. Now, this is nothing new. We've been all taught this, right? How do you reduce stress? How do you reduce anxiety? And you use those types of things. But I had to relearn it again. I had to be told again how to center and to be waiting and listening at the time. And so I was. It is knowing that I learned that we have to relearn some old lessons from time to time. It is learning again and knowing that we all have to be open, or I know at least I do, I don't know about you, to a variety of communication techniques. I mean, language. How many different languages do you speak? And when we think about that in terms, we think of audio language. We don't think about body language. We don't think about sign language. We don't think about acronyms that we use within our various professions. But it's language, nonetheless, that we have to learn, that we have to hear from our own perspective and the people that we are with. Because if we're going to have a meaningful conversation, what do we have? We got to be able to speak to each other, right? Got to have the right words or actions or motions in life. And that's what we have in our comprehension. I also realize that I hear things differently when I do that. And in the midst of what I am listening to, it's to be mindfully aware of God's mission and vision for our lives, and particularly what comes from Acts chapter 2. So that's where I'm coming from to take a look at Acts chapter 2. I don't know where you're coming from, but I share that as a part of my journey, a part of my invitation to you to take up the invitation and to listen to our Lord and how the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in maybe some very brief moments of time. So, how do you hear our reading from Acts chapter 2? What do you hear from Acts chapter 2? When we read Acts chapter 2 and the giving of the Holy Spirit, we read it with a particular mindset. I know for myself, I cannot read it from the Jewish perspective of when that was written. I read it from the perspective of one who has been raised and lived in the church from birth. I hear the story as one that takes place after Easter and is the beginning of the church. It's almost a historical event, and that's it, and we're done with it. That seems to be how I hear it. I hear it from having read Paul's letters and the Gospels. But there's more to Pentecost than maybe what we think or we need in life. And it has to do with communication. It has to do with listening and hearing and connecting traditions of the past, traditions of the present. Because traditions are a very powerful force in life. How many traditions do you have at home? How many of them are necessary? All of them are necessary. All of them. I was reminded of the power of tradition in life this past week as a former colleague sent me an invitation to go to the Chaplain Corps, Navy Chaplain Corps birthday anniversary ball, because it's ball season. November is ball season. October and November. Because in the Navy and the Marine Corps, one way to pass along tradition and lessons of the past is to have balls, to have a night out with everybody. I mean, if you ask any Marine, they can tell you, when was the Marine Corps founded? November 10th, 1775, Tunn's Tavern, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Or as I'd like to say, I'll join any organization that was formed in a bar. But that's when they were formed, and they're very proud of that tradition. But as you go through with some of the traditions that they have, and they've had to work in the Navy and the Marine Corps and the Army through some of those traditions, because they weren't healthy. As they work through those traditions and where they're at and what's going on and the lessons learned, one thing I've always said is you have to be mindful of your tradition. Because in that particular case with the Marine Corps and the Navy, it's 244 years of tradition, unimpeded by progress. And we have to be mindful of those traditions and what they tell us. Why do we do what we do? What is the message that we're trying to use to teach one another and children? And so that's when we come to Pentecost. Pentecost is the Greek word for the Hebrew festival of weeks. Now, how important is that? We're not even an agricultural church. I mean, you're talking about first fruits and all of those things going on. I mean, unless you've lived in agricultural land, you don't even understand. And then on top of it, we don't harvest in the springtime. We harvest in the fall. So what's the connection? What's going on here? Well, the Festival of Weeks occurs 50 days after Passover, counting from the Sabbath of Passover, 50 days. Well, why is that important? Why is that significant to them? It's significant to them because the Targum, the Jewish oral interpretation of Scripture, the interpretation of the Old Testament, speaks to and connects to the importance of the Festival of Weeks. And the connection is this, that they make in that tradition, in that writing, is what happened, or what's the tie to Moses. You see, where the Festival of Weeks appears in the book of Exodus, it appears in the covenant code dialogue. Covenant code, God's promise. So where it occurs there, and you look at it, and the Targum comes back and talks about it, is the connection they make is on 50 days past Passover, and we all know what happened on Passover. The tradition is celebrated for the release from slavery in Egypt. Big festival, big thing to celebrate, big thing to remember that God worked through Moses to gain their freedom from slavery. But then on the 50th day, as they're wandering in the wilderness, the oral interpretation finds them where? In Sinai. And the tradition teaches that on the 50th day, counting from Passover, they received the law. They received a new way of life, a new way of being with one another, of treating one another. I mean, you've been released from one bondage, one way of life, and now you're set free. How do you live your life? And so God gives the law, gives the Ten Commandments. And so then they celebrate a new beginning from there. If you read through that piece, what you also read in there is not just that, but what else takes place. It's part of the covenant code of the Festival of Weeks and the way they count from 50 days. As a part of that, when they gather together, they are to present a free will offering based off of their ability to pay. So some would pay more than others because of their ability. And they do that in response to the gift of God. Wow, that's a big thing. Responding that way, the celebration of weeks, celebration of good gifts from God. A celebration and remembering their deliverance from slavery and rejoicing based off their ability and giving of their first fruits to God. And the fourth wow is what I had already mentioned, is the beginning of a new nation, a new kingdom, a new way of life. That's their tradition that they're passing on. That's the traditions that we have in our own lives that we pass on from one generation to the next. Have you ever asked somebody who's learned to cook from their mother or their father, depending on your family, why they do what they do? I remember one Thanksgiving I asked my sister why she was buttering the outside of the potatoes before she wrapped them in aluminum foil before baking them. Her answer was, "That's what mom did. Nothing more, nothing less. That's just what mom did." Well, you do it if you read recipes and all that to give a crispier, crunchier skin. But she didn't. No, mom buttered it, so that's why I butter it. Not a big deal. Why? Is there anything else to ask? Why do you do what you do? Why do we do what we do in the church and where we are at and what we are doing? What are we doing based off of our vision and mission statements, personal and public. As we reflect upon that, why do we do what we do? How do we turn the frequency to get into alignment and block out all that noise of blah, 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 blah? Of course, many people think the tradition of the sermon should go away too because we're tired of the blah, 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 blah. Wah, 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 wah. I mean, I remember as a kid going to my grandmother's church, which was Swedish Covenant. It's a break off of the Lutheran Church in Sweden, and it's very pietistic. My sister and I would sit those days in the pew with the bulletins, and we'd have a pencil, you know, you're doing what you can. And we'd sit there and go, okay, got that point. Got that point. When's it going to finish? Got that point. Why do we do what we do? What's our message? And our message is one expressed in our mission and vision, and it's one of communication and how we speak. The other big wow, the other big thing, the other big factor or element that I found in the reading from Acts this morning, and there's many more, are the disciples. Now consider this. Who were the disciples? They're followers of Jesus, right? And we look at the 12, and we'll stick with the 12. But if you look at them, who are they? They're Galileans. Does that make any difference? On the geography, you look at it, where are they not from? Jerusalem. What's Jerusalem? It's the center of religious life. To be right with God, you have to sacrifice at the temple. To be right with God, you follow the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and others in authority. But here we have Galileans, outsiders, given the Holy Spirit first. And they go into the world. And not just into the world, but all that is of the world. Peter's ministry is to Jerusalem and the Jews in Jerusalem. Paul's ministry is beyond Jerusalem, and we see that in his travels in Acts. And the other disciples are called forth to go do the same thing. They're Galileans. They're outsiders. They speak a different language. But the main thing isn't what they're saying or how they're saying it or speaking it. It's that people heard. It's not whether or not you can speak a different language. If you speak a different language, why is that? It's so that you can communicate with somebody else where they are at and with what they are doing. Can you imagine being in a foreign country and trying to speak English, and that's the only language you learn, trying to tell them about Jesus, and they don't speak English? How effective is that? Because all they're going to hear is, wah, 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 wah. But we learn different languages. We learn different ways of communication. And that communication can be what? It can be body language. It could be sign language. It could be learning how to text, use social media. It could be a variety of things, a variety of different ways of communicating. In fact, believe it or not, and I was shocked when I learned this, our communication could actually be face-to-face, one-on-one. Totally shocked and surprised about that. Several years ago, the ship that I was on, I was walking through the ship, and I actually walked through the smoking area, which is outside the ship. Not a healthy thing to do. And I had two sailors, one standing about here and one standing here, and they're sitting there on their phones going crazy. You know who they are texting? Each other. How hard is this? Hi, how are you? Want to have a conversation? I said, guys, talk to each other. Tell each other what's going on. You have something to say? Huh? What? We have to learn to communicate in different places where we are at. And that's part of our mission and vision as we go and we look at that. We consider how we are doing things. The traditions of the past have lessons for us for today. Does that mean we keep doing what we've been doing? Maybe not. Maybe so. I don't know. You have the answers. I don't. You have the answers. I don't. That's why in creative waiting moments, you need to listen and be mindful to how the Holy Spirit is pulling you and talking to you, because the Holy Spirit is. There's no doubt in my mind that the Spirit is speaking to you on what's going on and what's taking place. And how do we deal with that? How are we listening with what the Spirit is telling us? Not just for the church at large. We can talk the big thing, the big mission statement. But what about our individual ministries? Our individual ministries that we have a passion for in our hearts. The guidance and direction for worship. Or the use of our facilities. Preschool, youth, young adults, old adults, adult spiritual formation, community life, Bible studies. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you in your heart? How we should do those things. And least we forget, administration, how we run the organization. Or still, as they had opening night a couple nights ago, Actors Co-op. What is the Holy Spirit telling you for yourself, who you are to be, as well as us as a community of faith? Who are we to be here and now, in and amongst ourselves, as well as we go out into the world like we do at Lord's Lighthouse? What is the Holy Spirit calling you to be? To God be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, we give you thanks and praise for this day and for all that you have given us. Show us your way, your truth, and our light, that we may be motivated to hear you, to be mindful of your Spirit in our lives this day. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.